Let's wait for Warren to start. Dennis is warning me. I only have 10 minutes. That's his subtle way of saying, Titus, you've got 10 minutes. So we have time to set the stage this morning, and we'll continue in the weeks that are ahead. Colossians chapter 3, beginning to read in verse 1. And for the sake of our time, I expect you to go back and look and see why this verse starts with therefore. It has to do with everything that Jesus is to us, not how great you are or how accomplished you are, and therefore the lack of accomplishment and the lack of greatness is completely irrelevant. This all is resting on Jesus' shoulders. Okay? And there he says, therefore, am I on? Okay. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Okay, jumping to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'd like to actually read the entire chapter. Fortunately, we don't have someone to drive the scriptures this morning. Okay, let me just start in the chapter 3. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. And now in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, let us fear if while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere concerning the seventh day, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this passage, they shall not enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day, today, saying through David, after so long a time, just as has been said before, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. So there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confessions. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, I'm going to stop there. So much is mentioned in that passage, and I just, as I said, want to set the stage for our considerations down the road here. He talks about a Sabbath rest here in this passage, and that there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That is us. What is he getting at? What is he talking about? Well, let me start by reminding you, way back at the beginning, when God made the heavens and the earth and all that is in them, he, in Genesis, describes how all of that was done, and he says, on the sixth day, the last day, he made man. Okay, the last day of his creative works, he made mankind. Right? So, God forms Adam and Eve out of the dust. He breathes life into them. They only live because of the breath of God within them. They go to sleep, they wake up, and so their real first day is the seventh day. Their Adam and Eve's first day in creation is the seventh day. And what is that day? It is the day of rest. Every day that God describes in Genesis, when he looks at what he's done, it says it's good. Not in the sense of, yeah, good enough, but he's saying this is how it should be. This is perfect. This is how it should be. And on the sixth day, he makes mankind and says, this is good. And so on the seventh day, Adam and Eve wake up into a world that has been prepared, and it is all perfect. It is all perfect. They are put in the Garden of Eden. And there are some people who I think it's worth considering that they were put in a place of complete provision and perfection. Outside it, there was work to be done. The fact that they were put into the place of perfect provision does not mean they had nothing to do. Which is an interesting thing. Here they are, everything is done, it is a day of rest, and God has given them an assignment. Okay? So now, fast forward many, 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 many hundreds of years, and here we are reading what the apostle has written in the book of Hebrews. And he says, there is a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's almost as if, and this is, I think, obvious to anybody who knows what this is, it's as if when Adam and Eve fell, they lost what God had intended. Mankind was designed to live in the Sabbath rest of God. That was the perfect design. And when Adam disobeyed and sinned against God, he lost that. He lost that. But it has never stopped being God's plan. The idea of restoration, the idea of redemption, includes this idea of coming back to what was already originally intended. It's not like, well, what God really wanted to happen can't happen anymore, therefore God has to come up with some second best plan. That is not how we should think about salvation. Okay? Redemption is perfect. Restoration is perfect. So what God really has is Jesus has provided a way for us again to live in this perfect rest that was the will of God from the beginning. And that is what he has always wanted his people to dwell in. Okay? Now, I want to set the stage, as I said, by just pointing out a couple things. First of all, we're going to have to come to grips with a number of things as we consider this series. Just taking what we've read here in chapter 4. Okay? Hardening your heart has an impact on whether you experience rest. So one of the things we're going to have to talk about is, what does it mean to harden your heart to the Lord? What does that actually mean? Why do I say that? Okay, so in this context here, so let's consider this. So man has fallen. Adam made a terrible choice. He has lost what was his, and now he is outside the garden. Do you remember they kicked out of the garden, right? There's interesting reasons why you look at it. It's actually God's being kind, not God's being punitive. Could you imagine what would have happened if Adam then took from the tree of life? Having fallen, then he took from the tree of life. Then nothing would have been possible. But instead, God, to protect him, put an angel in the way and said, you're not coming in here. To keep him safe from that which would have that which was good would have completely undone him. So he's out of the garden. He's outside of where he was meant to live from. He may have gone out of the garden to do work, but he was always called to live out of this place of rest. Well, now that's lost. But it's always been God's plan to get him back there. So, as you know from the history of Scripture, God chooses a man named Abram. And has involvements with Abraham because through Abraham, the entire world was going to be blessed. That develops into a people that he calls out for himself, the people of Israel. They were given covenants by which the blessing of God could both affect them and affect those around them. But they didn't keep up their end of the bargain, right? God would speak and they would want their own way, and God says, you are hardening your hearts. And because you are hardening your hearts, you cannot come into the rest that I've prepared for you. Keep going, keep going. This is a repeated problem. It's not like the people of Israel have only one period of trouble with God. They have this seesaw, back and forth thing where they get involved with sin, they get involved with worshiping other gods, as if there were any other gods. And then they repent, oh no, no, we're sorry, we come back, we repent of what you've done. And so then there's a season of blessing, and then they fall again. It's like, you know, the people who were involved with repenting, the next generation completely forgets. And go back and forth and back and forth, and God begins to say, you know what, this is not working. Is it apparent to you that it's not working? And God begins to say, something else has to happen. You need a new heart. Because the problem here has got to do with the heart inside you not being able, not being adequate for what I want to do. It's proven by your behavior. So Jesus comes and he fulfills the prophecies that were made concerning him about what he would do. But he went far beyond their understanding of what was going to go. All they were thinking about is now the Jews get to rule again. But God was not merely interested in a political solution. He was interested in the salvation of all mankind. He was interested in so thorough and effective a salvation that people could once again live in the Sabbath rest of God. Because that's what God's design has always been. Okay? So one of the things that we have to come to grips with is here he says, you know, there remains this Sabbath rest. He says, today, you could enter that rest today, but don't harden your heart. That's why I say we have to talk about what it means to harden your heart as we consider these things. We'll have to come to grips with, wait a second, what does it mean to be in rest, but I got to work? Because it says here that he who enters that rest ceases from all his works, just like God did from his. And then the next line says, let us be diligent. I don't know about you, but the word diligent is always attached to doing something. You can't be diligent to sit on your sofa doing nothing. Right? The whole idea of diligence means there must be some activity. There must be something to do. There is a parallel between Adam and Eve living in the Garden of Eden, but being given a task. Okay, so what does that mean? What does it mean that we're supposed to rest from our works, but at the same time we have to be doing something? The scriptures say, work out your salvation. So which is right? Which passage of scripture shall we throw away, and which passage of scripture shall we keep? Well, let's not throw anything away, but be willing to see more carefully. What is he saying to us? What is he saying to us here? What is this rest that we're called to dwell in? And I just want to end, I went over my 10 minutes, I just want to end, as if you didn't know I was going to do that. I want to end by where we started, going back to Colossians. So, again, let me recap. In the beginning, the first thing that mankind experienced was the fullness of provision. Everything they needed had been done for them. Plants, animals, everything were already in place. So, mankind's experience was to dwell out of the fullness of provision. Okay, and I acknowledge this is just a little bit of all that it means when it says that God entered, God rested on that day. Well, I want us to think, therefore, that everything that you and I are called to do now is to come from the understanding, the realization that everything has been provided for. Everything has been provided for. You know, we could have started in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And the implication in the book of Ephesians is everything that is possibly needed has been done. Has been done. I think saints tend to continue to interact with God from a perspective of, I got to get him to do something for me. And how I get him to do that would be, it could be through my behaviors, it could be through my promises, it could be through my prayers. But the understanding is always, I'm not in provision, I want God to bring me into provision. And because that tends to be our perspective, I have a feeling we are running with one foot. I don't know the analogy here. With one foot tied to itself and we have a crutch. And we're wondering why we're not moving so fast. There is a realization that God wants to bring us into. That whatever it is that we may need to be affected by in this great salvation, whatever it might be, it's actually already been provided. You know, we talked this morning and we prayed about jobs. And we know that there is a need for health in our midst. We know that there are people around us that need health and provision and jobs and breakthrough and encouragement and strength. And oftentimes, I'm not saying everybody and I'm not saying we always, but oftentimes we start from the perspective of thinking we somehow have to get God to do something so that this will become possible. Instead of starting from the perspective, it's already been done. And by faith, I take hold of it and bring it into this realm. That's the work I've been given to do. Whatever I'm called to do, be it praying, loving somebody through some deed of service, be it fastings, be it singing praises, whatever I'm called to do, what I'm really called to do is believe God. Right? There are people who fast, and all that happens is they lose weight. There are people who, how should I put it? Their idea of rest is limited to don't work on Sunday. I'm not saying you should work on Sunday. I'm not making any comment about whether stores should be open on Sunday or not. But what I am saying is if that's your entire idea of the rest of God, what do you do for the other 6 days? The seventh day is a provision for the rest of the six. Right? And it isn't limited to, you know, if a man works 7 days a week, he just gets run down. You've got to have at least a day off. I mean, that's true in a limited sense, but that is not the picture that God is trying to get across. If all that we take away from the teaching in Scripture about the Sabbath rest is you shouldn't work on Sunday, we have missed it. Just like he told the Pharisees. Right? They got on the case of the disciples for rubbing some grain in their hand while they're walking by and eating it. How dare you violate what God was saying? Is that how we want to live? That Sabbath rest is merely about a rule? Or is there something in Sabbath rest that is a provision for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of our lives that allows us to live from a fullness? In other words, it's like fullness is coming and affecting what is broken here. I want to state ahead of time that that's what God is actually saying to us. And so we'll have to look at hardness of heart. We have to look at what it means to believe. We have to look at what is our work now. Because it is not the case that it just means I don't got to do anything. That is not what he's saying. That does not fit with Scripture. Neither the verse that's put here, diligence, nor all the other passages of Scripture that talks about working hard. You know, Paul made a point of telling Timothy, I'm working hard. I want to set an example. My paraphrase. I want the brethren to see what is involved in seeing this salvation work out. And Paul worked hard. How can then we turn around and say, but the Sabbath rest of God means I don't got to work at all? No. What does it mean? What is he getting at when he talks about works there? These are the things that we want to work with. But I want to start, again, just by reminding you. I challenge you, as you go through this coming week, in your interactions with God, I challenge you to begin whatever is the episode that you're having to deal with. There's no power at your house. Your car is broken. Whatever it might be. whatever little challenge, you get a report that your family member has been diagnosed with some terrible sickness. They're cutting back at work, and so now you're laid off. Whatever it might be. And I shouldn't only think about negative things. Even the positive things. You know, somebody got saved. Whatever it is in your personal interaction, I want you to start by saying, I want to just say thank you first that everything I need has already been provided at the cross. Jesus is everything I need, and in him, all the money I need, all the health I need, all of the provision I need, all of the breakthrough I need, all of the strength I need is already available to me. And I just want to start, even if I don't know exactly how to take hold of it all, I do want to start by acknowledging there is a Sabbath rest for me. For me. This is for me. Jesus purchased this for me. And I want to be diligent to enter it. I find myself personally in the midst of having to deal with so many demands on my time. And they are all good. Like they all have to be done. It's not like I'm juggling, you know, we need to pray for this community with, well, I just don't get to play video games anymore. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. I'm talking about there's so many demands on my time personally. And I was reminded that doesn't compare to the demands on Jesus' time. There was nobody who was more busy than Jesus, and yet he was not busy inside. And that made all the difference. That made all the difference. That allowed him to be able to stay where he was when he was told that Lazarus is sick. If we're not living out of the rest, our first thought is, I better get up and go. I got to do something about it. There's more to be done. There's more to be done. Instead of, oh, thank you, Father, this has already been taken care of. What do you want me to do? Stay there. Okay, I'm staying here. And everybody else around you is going crazy. What do you mean we're staying here? Don't you know that he's sick? Because we can't imagine anything beyond how we would solve this problem. But being in the rest of God brings you to a place where you can see solutions that you would never be able to imagine from a natural mind. That's what God wants to bring us into. I want to remind you, this is my last thing I'm going to say. I want to remind you that salvation is actually all about your relationship with Jesus. It is not about what we accomplish. It's not about what we do for him. It really is about a relationship. All of the things in our life, the settings, the challenges, the relationships that we have to work through, they are a context in which your friendship with God deepens. And it is out of that that we live. So it's not surprising that he would say to us, I want you to live out of the rest that I have provided for you. I want you to start. Your heart and mind needs to be rewired to think in terms of provision and not lack. You have to think in terms of provision and not lack. And you don't need to win the lottery for that. In one sense, we already won. We who could never deserve it have been given the Holy Spirit. There has to be more to that than being able to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit dwelling in your life is more than being able to lay hands on somebody. It is the answer for everything and anything. And that's what I believe God wants us to work with in this coming days and weeks ahead of us. There's a lot that's going to be happening in the next 4 months, I expect, but it will all be in the context of we are working from the rest that God has for us. It's been provided. So let your prayers start with a thank you. Let your, okay, how am I going to deal with this? Start with a, oh, thank you, Father. You've provided for the answer for this already. Thank you. Thank you. It's already mine. It's already mine. Okay? We'll continue from here. Thank you for your patience. Okay, you know what, we won't close with a song. If there's anybody who is in need of prayer, please come and see me. Either I or I'll ask somebody else to pray with you. But please, if there's something that you are thinking about, I got to get this dealt with. I need to confess something. I'm involved with things that I want broken in my life. Come and see me. Otherwise, please take this time that we have, this next hour we have, just to fellowship and encourage one another. I remind you, you are a servant of God. You are a touch point for heaven to affect the earth. Little old you can change the world because you are willing to say yes to the Lord. Okay? And for everybody involved with cleanup, we have to put all our stuff in the little kitchen again. We have to move our stuff from there and put it into there. So, and you have to make a sketch. They have no clue. They absolutely have no clue how to do that well. I always forget the offering. Thank you, Lord. Bless.